Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Guys, I'm Sai, and welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. We on a channel have got podcasts, interviews, and content on all sorts of subjects. We've shows released, recorded, or scheduled on various subjects, including mental health, football, films, TV, serial killers, wrestling, music, conspiracy theories, and more. We have a weekly series on football, which is the Andy Campbell Championship Show, where we discuss the latest news and results from the Sky Bet Championship with their former Premier League and Championship striker Andy Campbell providing the expert analysis. We've also recently launched an MMA show where myself and former Cage Warriors champion Danny Batten cover the big UFC cards, probably like once a month, basically, with Danny breaking down all the fights and giving his insights, which have been quite popular. And today we're on the podcast with no name. It's our films and TVs podcast, where we look at films, TV shows, trailers, news, whatever's been in the news and about for that period. So today we're just going to be reviewing or just talking about two films, which is The Joker and El Camino, which is a Breaking Bad film. Jakin, joining me to discuss both these films is Jamie. Welcome, buddy.
Hello, Simon. Glad to be back again.
I know.
Been a while. It's nice.
I know. It feels like it's been a bit longer this time between the shows. And then we'll do another one now in a couple of weeks where we're going to get some trailer talk and stuff in and some news. It's a bit disappointing. Everyone's talking about Disney Plus and you can't get Disney Plus in the UK yet.
But I still watched The Mandalorian.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's only two chapters in and I think it's my favourite Star Wars.
See, my kids, because like as my kids got old enough to watch films and that, all the Marvel films come out, we haven't really watched all the Star Wars films together. And my back, I don't think my missus has seen them. She thinks she's seen a couple of them, but she haven't really watched all of them. So I think we're gonna watch them all from start to finish, because we were debating when we were sat in the in McDonald's after we watched The Joker the other day, whether we should watch them in the order they come out or if we should watch them in the order that they're set. And I think we decided on the order they came out because we feel...
That's not a bad...
I just think...
Because if you watch Rogue One, it kind of gives way New Hope. And so, yeah, just do it as George Lucas, then it?
I think with it as well, mate, it's like... Like, if you watch the first three, which, like, the old ones, and then you watched episode 1, 2, and 3,
I think like they're made to be, they're not made to be in like episode order. They're made so you know the story and then you find out more about the different characters. And I just think I can understand the logic between watching them in like episode order. But I think there's a reason they all come out in the order they did, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I'm quite looking forward to it because like I think my middle son has seen, he quite likes them. But the older one and the younger one, I haven't seen them, so I'm quite looking forward to watching them all together. And just a little note as well, the next show that me and Jamie do, which will be in a couple of weeks, we're going to be reviewing the new Terminator film. But what we're going to do is, in the meantime, me and him are going to both watch all the Terminator films one by one. So that show is going to be quite Terminator heavy. So we'll probably start it off, do a couple of the most recent trailers. And then we're going to go into Terminator. We'll talk about each film. Obviously, the new one will be the kind of the main gist of it. And we'll spend a lot more time on that. But then we're also going to go through each film, a couple of minutes on each one, just to get all the story straight. And obviously, with time travel stuff as well, it gets all a bit confusing. So I figured, like, if we go through each one, it means we'll be spot on and hot for all the different stories and little things in between.
And the new Star Wars film will be out not long after that as well, so that's cool.
Oh, there we go, and then we go there. And then, Disney Plus, man. It's getting a bit... It's had a few issues with the...
The Simpsons.
Simpsons, aren't they, with the widescreen and stuff.
And cropping the jokes out of the bloody episodes.
That's poor, that is, isn't it? It's mad, though, isn't it, with all the technology that you've got these days, and then you can't, like, just turn it off widescreen.
No. But when we have it now in March, it'll be fixed. So we'll have everything brand new and working.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it, I've got to be honest. It's only like five or something as well, isn't it?
It's not. And seven devices and any four can be, and seven profiles, and you can watch four in one go. So that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, and like when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, it's just going to be like, it's just cartoons, isn't it? But like, it's got all the Simpsons, it's got going to have all the Marvel films, all the Star Wars films. Avatar, yeah. And like, what they'll do as well is they'll put all like the, like when a new Marvel film comes out now, instead of going onto Netflix or Sky, it'll straight onto Disney Plus. Same with the Star Wars and the Avatar sequel.
Yeah.
When's the Avatar sequel out? Is it next year?
Year. I'm pretty sure I was reading films for next year, and there's a lot of good films next year, like January, February. It's Birds of Prey, and then in February. January, not so much. February's pretty good. March, again, pretty good. Then you got Wonder Woman 88 next year. It's a lot of good films out next year.
Be interesting when they what's the next Marvel film out, I think?
Black Widow.
So when's that out? That's like the first part of the year next year.
April of 2nd, I think. Oh, April the 1st.
See, that'll be good, wouldn't it? Like when their Marvel role, because it's like they've had a bit of a break from making Marvel films now after Endgame. When they get started on this next phase, it's going to be so interesting what they do with, because you've got like
two Marvel films next year, Black Widow and the Eternals.
And that's the thing as well, is because they're doing like you've got this new phase, and obviously a lot changed with Endgame, but then you've got the things like the Eternals and some of the other films that they've announced coming out, which are going to be really good. But then also you've got like the Fantastic Four and all the X-Men characters just sat in the background waiting. I think they'll use what happens in Doctor Strange to
introduce someone.
Although I read somewhere the other day that they were going to use the quantum realm to introduce like the word mutants and stuff because what's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer's character. I forgot her name. Janet Van Dyne.
That's it.
She obviously came back from the quantum realm and she had powers. So I think they were going to kind of use that as like a way to introduce the concept of mutants and stuff. But like, to me, they could just kind of, because they've basically got, you know, they just call them powered people and this sort of stuff where they haven't been able to use the word, but like, it's not a completely different concept. They can just discover the like the X gene, can't they? Whatever, the mutant gene. But it should be good though.
Oh yeah.
So I was just having a look at like the films for next year. So you've got The Grudge in January, which I actually really liked the Sarah Michelle Gellar version of that. Thought it was really good. So, but then I'm just a Buffy fan, I think. So maybe that's, maybe I was biased. My screen's frozen, which is always handy. Bad Boys. It's going to be awesome, that is. And then you've got like Black Widow, Hansel and Gretel, the Birds of Prey movie.
Wonder Woman.
The Kingsman. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. What else was it? Fast and the Furious 9. Is it 9?
Yeah, 9. Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Godzilla versus Kong. I really like those films.
I was surprised that was out next year. Because Godzilla was only out this year.
The New Mutants is finally coming out, even though it's been made for like 18 months or something.
Yeah,
Jesus. Don't think anyone wants. I'm surprised. I thought they were going to just put it back. I thought they were going to just put it straight onto Disney Plus. I did, because they don't really. It's like
Disney
an inconvenience.
Watched it and they were like, "Nope, redo it." They didn't like the cut at all.
Well, I just think it's almost like a waste of a film because they're not going to build on anything from it.
No,
unless when they redid it, they're going to do it in a way that you could kind of use it to introduce the X-Men into the MCU and make it an MCU film. It's like a waste of a film because they're probably going to recast everyone, or at least majority of the X-Men characters. And it just seems like a waste. So I'm surprised they didn't just put it onto a streaming service. There's a Saw film out next year. There's Legally Blonde.
I never saw a film.
Yeah, untitled Saw film. Woman in the Window. Legally Blonde 3. Fast and Furious, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, Candyman. So, yeah, next year's Top Gun. Jungle Cruise, Minions, The Rise of Gru. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yes.
Morbius. Wow.
That's not an MCU route, that's a Sony one.
No.
Yeah.
But they're going to be loosely connected anyway, aren't they? So.
Well, if they get a wish and have Venom in there as well, yeah.
Could be awesome. Venom's so easy for them to do.
Venom 2.
Oh, yeah, of course. So easy for them to do now with their, as soon as they do the Doctor Strange movie.
Infinite possibilities.
Because you can just bring them in and out without having to tie it all together they don't have to completely be in sync, and you know, they can just come in and out from different universes. I really hope they do a Spider-Verse live action film.
And well, was announced the other day, Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah, that's going to be good. I still haven't seen the first one, mate. It's on Netflix as well.
It's
amazing. I just haven't got around to watching it.
It's really good. It's one of my favourite superhero films. It's brilliant.
And that's what I mean. They could make an awesome, awesome live-action version of that with Sony and the MCU. You could use, like, MCU, because it's going to be like, it's like a multiverse thing. You can bring in some MCU characters just to make cameos. You could bring in like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and
Tom Holland.
Yeah, be awesome, mate. Escape Room 2, Bill and Ted Face the Music. I don't know what that's going to be like, but I'm interested just to see what it's like. Conjuring movie, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, I'm quite looking forward to. I like the Tom Clancy stuff. And then, you know, there's other films as well as these. Yeah. Kind of just naming the big ones. G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, Halloween, The Witches, The Eternals, it's just never ending. But it's an amazing year for films. Dune coming to America, The Croods 2. Well, it's just never ending.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. Right. So let's start with the Joker. We both saw it last week. What was your overall thoughts?
Brilliant.
You really liked it, did you?
Oh, amazing. Brilliant film. And even to the time period, it set brilliantly. Awesome film. Really good.
Yeah, I thought the sets and the general feel for the film was amazing. I thought it really felt like the 80s.
Yeah.
And I thought Joaquin Phoenix was, I thought he was amazing. I just felt, the one criticism I'd have of it, I felt like it was a little bit slow to get going. Like, I thought the second half was really good, but I felt like the first half kind of didn't do enough to get stuff moving. And I understand that it was it's like an origin story and they wanted to, you know, tell it properly and stuff. I just felt like they could give a bit more. I don't know. It's difficult to explain. But I wasn't bored and I enjoyed it. But it was just, I felt like it could be a bit more.
So, a bit more could happen.
Yeah, it was just, it didn't feel too exciting. But the end of it was fantastic. And the way they tied some stuff up. And I wonder, without giving any spoilers away just yet, I was wondering afterwards whether they'll do a time jump to modern time and kind of go that route so Bruce Wayne is grown up, or whether they'll just do like a small time jump of like 5 or 6 years, so where he's kind of like a young adult or a teenager, and do it that way.
The only problem with that, though, is that now Robert Pattinson is Batman. They have to do him like at that sort of age. So if they go, but Joaquin Phoenix doesn't want to play Joker now.
Oh, doesn't
he? Apparently, he doesn't want to do a sequel, but that's a sequel. He might want to do a Batman film. But if you set in the Batman film in the 90s, Robert Pattinson still looks really young, so you'd get away with it.
Yeah, I think the thing with Joaquin Phoenix, similar to Heath Ledger, is he's like a method actor, isn't he? And yeah. I think if you're a method actor, you put so much into it, like staying in that character, particularly a character like the Joker, I think you put so much into it and it takes a lot out of you. So I can understand why he might be a bit reluctant to play it again in a sequel. Like, hopefully he does, because I did like his...
Oh, brilliant.
You know, he's a really good actor. But then I suppose the other thing, I thought Jared Leto did all right as the Joker. I quite liked his version of the Joker.
Yeah, everyone's played the different sort of Joker. Like, you had the gangster Joker, Jack Nicholson. You had Heath Ledger's Joker, who was just a psychopath. This Joker is a psychopath. But, it's just brilliant. And before watching, I read a lot of things of, I relate to the Joker. Don't relate to the Joker. You don't want to. He's an evil bastard. He played the part so well. You could actually see from when he stopped taking his medication how he turned.
Yeah. And devolved, didn't he?
Yeah. In brilliant acting.
And I thought what they did do well was, we'll go through the story and stuff now, but what I thought they did do well is they, even though as he devolved into a bit of a dick and he was getting more and more kind of evil, if you like, they still made you feel sorry for him because of the way his mother treated a certain thing she'd done and said and things she hadn't told him over his life. So you still felt sorry for him at points as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good. So see, as we're just covering the two films, we'll go through it blow by blow almost. So it starts off, it's 1981, you can see him, he's kind of putting his clown makeup on. So he's a clown, isn't he?
But he's a clown for hire.
Yeah, and he does like hospital visits and stuff like that, and he does stands outside shops spinning the sign and stuff like that. There's like a big team of, you know, guys clowns. Who are clowns and stuff. And even early on in that sort of in the locker room when they're all getting ready to go and do their different, you know, jobs and clowning. Trips and stuff, you could tell like he's isolated and they're not very particularly nice to him. They treat him badly, but he's really nice. He's like trying to be really kind and he's really softly spoken. So at that point, he doesn't seem as if he's going to go, you know, off the rails and he's going to be evil or bad. And he's quite like he's looking after his mother who's ill. He's like even the guys in that room who are not very nice to him and feel a bit like he's weird and they don't know what to make of him and they don't really want to be around him. He's quite softly spoken and
placid.
Yeah. He is, yeah. So in Gotham City, Gotham's rife with crime and unemployment, and there's like this backdrop of throughout the film of like newspaper reports and radio reports and TV reports of things really taking a turn with gang violence and people getting killed, and that's like an ongoing thing, which is that's a direct thing from the comics. Because Gotham's a bit of a shithole in the comics, isn't it? Yes. Where there's a lot of crime and stuff. Like, I haven't watched Gotham, the TV series. Have you watched that?
No, I haven't, to be honest, no.
No, I was wondering
It's never been one of them ones that have caught my eye to watch, sort of thing. I know it's been around, but just... It seems like a lot of effort to watch, if you know what I mean. I know that sounds really lazy, but just seems like effort.
Mm.
And my friend in work was like, he's massive into DC, and I said, oh, watch Gotham. He's like, nah, it's all right. He's like, I watched it once, so I would never watch it again. He's like, that it hasn't enhanced any of the characters for me or anything, so
yeah,
fair enough. Okay,
yeah, and I suppose like it doesn't link up to anything else, no. Which makes it a bit different then, because like obviously all the CW shows they all link up together, so once you watch one, you kind of end up watching the others. Because they all link up and they come together for the crossovers and stuff. You know, each year they have a massive crossover. But because they keep adding shows, the crossovers get bigger. So it's like you will watch kind of one or two of the shows, then you end up watching all of them because of the crossovers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they've added a Batwoman show, and which has started really recently. They've also got the... what's the one that's on Netflix? Black Lightning. So they got all this stuff. And I read a rumor that Lucifer's going to be in the crossover for the CW shows, which I thought that would be amazing because I always forget that Lucifer was a DC character. But Lucifer's one of my favorite TV shows, I've got to say. And I was glad they saved it on Netflix.
Netflix to the save well. Again.
Yeah, it's a shame they haven't saved bloody some other stuff, though. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a bloody start.
Well, Disney want to start fresh, don't they? So.
Yeah, I just wish they wouldn't start fresh with that, because I could understand them wanting to start fresh with some, like, Iron Fist.
Daredevil, Iron Fist, yeah.
Like, to me, if I was them, I'd be keeping the Daredevil actor, Charlie, something, I can't remember his surname, but I'd keep the Daredevil actor, because I thought he was excellent. I would keep all the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors, really, because I think he's got a really big following, and they're all really good. And they've spent like six series or five series, maybe seven series when it finishes. And it's really good. Like, and I don't think it's going to be on Disney Plus. It's going to be on Hulu. And I'd keep the Punisher actor as well for Frank Castle, because I thought that was amazing. But I could understand them kind of recasting the rest. But I hope they do keep them. And then they have like a Hulu universe with all those characters.
Yeah.
And then you just cross it over occasionally with the stuff on Disney Plus. But hopefully with Disney Plus, we'll get the crossover stuff that we hoped we were going to get when they announced Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the TV shows. So they cross over with the films. But I digress anyway. So, yeah, you start off, you sort of get, like, an introduction to the Joker, to Arthur Fleck. He lives with his mum in Gotham, She's very ill. So he looks after her, but he also suffers from this disorder that causes him to laugh at inappropriate times, which makes for some quite funny moments throughout the film. He's got like this card, haven't he, which says I suffer from this disorder, so if I'm laughing,
it's not my fault. I can't help it.
And he takes medication, which he depends on for this for social services, where he goes to see like a
counselor.
Like a counselor or someone from social services each week, and he's got to tell her about like how he's feeling and all this, and he's got to keep a journal. But she's not really interested. She's kind of going through the motions, and he calls her out on that a couple of times. So early on in the film, he's got a co-worker called Randall, because at the start of the film, he's Arthur's spinning a sign outside a shop, working as a, you know, advertising the shop and stuff, and a group of kids nick the sign, and he chases them after the sign, and they kind of take him down an alley, and they beat the shit out of him. So when he's in the locker room then with his co-workers, Randall, who is one of his co-workers, gives him a gun and kind of says, you know, you've got to
protect yourself.
Stick up for yourself. Keep doing it. So he ends up with a gun. And then he meets his neighbor, which is a single mother, Sophie, doesn't he, in the lift on the way home. Which that was interesting because I didn't expect that. I thought when they were in the, so he's sort of in the lift, being a bit shifty and a bit weird like he is, and she gets in with her young daughter, and they're going to the same floor because they're, you know, the next door neighbors and whatever.
Next neighbors, yeah.
And she kind of just gives him a really kind smile, and she's quite nice to him. And then, as you think, they kind of shows them beginning to date, and they show them at different points. And it's only later on in the film that you realise they kind of pull the rug out from underneath you a bit.
This is imagination.
Yeah. Which was, there was a point, I forget which point it was. There was a point where I thought, I think he's imagining it. I think it was when they were in the hospital later on in the film.
When she asked him to get him coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when
that
I
was
thought,
the same oh, point, she's, yeah.
She's not, I don't think she's, like they're really dating and stuff. So they kind of meet in the lift, and yeah, she's nice to him basically. And they go their separate ways. You see a bit more of his mum. And then when he's entertaining at the children's hospital, the gun falls out of his pocket, and everyone is, all the kids are like, oh, and he makes it out as if it's part of his
prop
act. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, like he meant to drop it and stuff. But the nurses all look a bit concerned. They've all got this like serious look on their face, and they play it off as like they believe him. But it kind of, what was interesting about that is the fact that he took the gun with him everywhere
to
the children's hospital. So it wasn't like he was just carrying it when he was traveling home or stuff. As soon as he had the gun, he wanted to keep it, and keep it he did. So that was the first kind of thing which led to his unraveling, I guess, is what you'd say. Because that's like the first thing which goes wrong, I think.
Yeah.
And he got beaten up, didn't he?
The train home?
Yeah. He's in a train, and there's these three guys who work at Wayne Enterprises, which is your first link to the main DC universe, other than, you know, the Joker and this, like the first Easter egg, if you like, or certainly the first one I spotted, was that they all worked in Wayne Enterprises. And then they're kind of hassling this woman on the train, and Arthur Fleck sat a bit further up. He's kind of just looking. And then he starts laughing because of this condition where he laughs at inappropriate times and he can't help her. And the girl makes a run for it because the guys start sort of having a go at him, you know, what's so funny, etc. And then it ends up, he shoots two of them in kind of self-defense, but kind of also like shoots them in the head.
Yeah.
So it's like there was no leave me alone. well, I'll shoot you. It was kind of,
he bang, bang,
you're dead. Then he shoots the third one in the leg, and he kind of runs, and the train stops, and he gets off the train, but he literally chases him down, not running, just walks after him, doesn't he? While the other guy's limping, and he shoots him again, and he falls, and then he walks up and shoots him close range. So they didn't really waste any time in letting you know that, yes, he's mentally ill. Yes, he's got some issues. Yes, he's quite quietly spoken, and he's quite kind. He looks after his mum, and he likes this girl. But also, he's got a tendency for extreme violence. And yeah, I think he straight away, like, he killed three of them, didn't he?
Yeah.
No messing.
No remorse.
And then you see a news report, or like a press conference, which is mayor candidate Thomas Wayne, who is being interviewed, and he sort of condemns the clown. He labels the people of Gotham
who clowns.
He labels them clowns because people had kind of got behind
the Joker,
the murder, the murderer of these three guys, because I guess there was kind of like a rich versus poor thing developing, wasn't there?
Through
all the crime, and you know, as the world is, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and
like exactly how society is now.
Yeah, like it always will be, always has been, mate. They and he labels the people who, you know, support or who are like celebrating the murder of these guys as clowns, which sets up some stuff for later in the film. There's demonstrations around the Gotham's rich, and it's sort of the protesters don the clown masks because they don't know that it's Arthur Fleck. They just know that it's someone in a clown mask killed these three guys. And I thought that part of it would have made more sense if in the news reports they had said they were hassling this girl, and that's how it had happened. Because then I could understand people
joining up,
getting behind him and supporting him because he had stuck up for this girl who was being hassled by these three guys. Whereas
sticking up for a murderer.
Yeah, it was a slight disconnect for me because it was like, from what the news reports were saying, it was just a guy who'd killed three guys. So it was a bit like, why would you then have protests and stuff? But I guess it was just furthering the rich versus the poor thing, which was
an
ongoing thing. So yeah, in the protests, they all wore the clown masks, and stuff. And then the funding gets cut for the social services center where he gets his medication and he has his counseling and talks and stuff, which is when he pulls her up on the fact that she never listens to him. But he is concerned. He's concerned straight away. He needs his medication because he knows, like,
what am I going to do about my medication? And he's like, right. So you do realize you're going to go mad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like there was no, you can get it from somewhere else. It was like, yeah, you're going to go mad. You're going to have problems, which made him contributed even more to him, his unraveling, because this is now where it really ramps up the kind of unraveling of his psyche, if you like. So he's been all this time as well in his journal, he's been writing jokes, in his journal, because he wants to be a stand-up comedian. He wants to stop being a clown and wants to be a stand-up comedian. That's kind of his plan and his dream. And him and his mum, every night, they watch the Murray Franklin talk show, which is Robert De Niro as this kind of cheesy 80s talk show host. And after his comedy show goes really badly, because he can't stop laughing during his jokes, and his jokes are like not great.
Falling flat on people. Yeah.
But he's laughing because of his condition. And then when they're watching, him and his mum are watching the talk show And Murray Franklin mocks Arthur by showing clips of the routine and, you know, basically makes fun of him. And Arthur's mum, from the start of the film, is always asking about post and letters. And at this point, you found out that she's been writing letters to Thomas Wayne to ask for help with her health, because she used to work with him a long time ago. And she spoke very highly of Thomas Wayne. She would say he's a lovely man to work for, and he always looks after his employees and kind of this and that. And then
their family, apparently.
Yeah. They already treats him as family. And then after they've watched the Murray Franklin show where he mocks Arthur, Arthur intercepts a letter, or she gives him a letter to send to Thomas Wayne, and he kind of puts her into bed and stuff, and then he reads the letter, and the letter alleges that he's Thomas Wayne's illegitimate son. At that point, I thought, are they really going to
go down the road of Batman and the Joker being brothers? Yeah.
So I was hoping they weren't, and they didn't, luckily. But so at Wayne Manor, then Arthur's gone to Thomas Wayne's house, and he's like outside the big gates, and he's talking to
young Bruce.
Bruce Wayne, yeah, as a child, through the gate, and then Alfred comes and sort of tells him to leave.
To fuck off, and
yeah, they have like a little interaction, but like, Arthur at this point is like, he's been quite friendly and polite and nice at first.
Yeah.
And then as Alfred gets like a bit more firm, he kind of loses it, starts yelling at him and stuff. And he does leave, though. He leaves without any real damage. He kind of holds him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He like pulls him through the gate and threatens him with a knife or a gun. I forget. I don't know if he threatened him with a weapon, actually.
I think he just grabbed him by the neck, didn't he?
Yeah, and then you can see Bruce is looking from behind, just sort of, you know, scared, which obviously would be an image when you go back, when you go to the Batman with Robert Pattinson. That's one of probably the scenes where they'll flash back to, is him grabbing an Alfred in front of young Bruce.
Yeah.
Well, they should anyway. Hopefully they do.
You'd hope so.
And then following from that visit, the two Gotham City detectives who are investigating Arthur's involvement in the train murders kind of go and see him. But they see him at the hospital, don't they? Because Penny had suffered, his mum had suffered a stroke and she'd been hospitalised, which is when you see the girl as well. So the two detectives come and speak to him outside the hospital. And like, that was a bit weak for me, because they didn't really
ask him.
And they didn't ask him anything. They didn't really like say what they were all wanted to know, or like why they thought, you know, like, or a witness or something. They didn't fill in the blanks about like why they were there. Like, and if you're investigating a murder and they think this guy is the murderer, you know, like,
you
say
ask
why.
A few more questions.
Yeah. And you don't let him just walk off or tell you to piss off and leave. I thought that was a bit weak. And then he goes up to the hospital room, and the next door neighbor's there, and she says, "Oh, I'll go and get coffee." And that was when I thought, oh yeah, they're not together. I think that's part of his imagination. So at this point in the film, you've got Penny's had a stroke, so is more poorly than she's ever been. He's having problems at work. He's been beaten up a couple of times. He's had found out that Thomas Wayne might be his father, and his mum's been lying to him. He's also then he's killed the three guys, so he is under a tremendous amount of strain, which is contributing to the unraveling of his mental health or his mental stability. And then he goes to I don't think it's specified what it was, but it was just like a public event where he confronts Thomas Wayne, and he says like, you know, pennies might.
It was at Wayne Hall or something, and it was like a show one day, and he's betting in the bathroom.
That's right, and he follows him to the bathroom, and Thomas Wayne says that Penny is, you know, she was delusional, and she's not even his, Arthur's biological mother. Arthur thinks he's lying, and he has to go and visit the mental hospital. Yeah, and he steals Penny's file, and Thomas, and Penny says that to him that Thomas Wayne used his influence to fabricate the adoption and then get her committed to an asylum to hide their affair, but it seems that she had some mental health issues herself. And did she kill, like, she had a child? Did she kill the child and then adopt Arthur, or did she? She just got admitted into an asylum.
She got admitted into asylum because she let her boyfriend abuse Arthur.
Right, that's going.
And when he found Arthur, he was chained to a radiator.
That's right. Yeah. So, Arthur's distraught because he's found out about this. You know, she was in a mental hospital, and she, you know, he. What Thomas Wayne was saying was right, and his mum had lied about all this, and also it kind of intimates that he's having flashbacks to the abuse without saying it as such.
Yeah.
Like, shows you clips and by the looks on his face and stuff. So he goes to the hospital and he kills his mum, and then returns home, and he enters the neighbor's apartment unannounced. But of course, because it was all in his head, she's, you know, she tells him to leave and get out. Because
this isn't your apartment, Arthur.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
My daughter's in bed. And you're like, oh, wow, okay.
Ah, yeah, right. It was well done, I thought, the twist. They didn't make it too obvious because, like, I only realised just before.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes with these sorts of things, you don't want people guessing at it.
No.
Like, straight away. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's, people know so much about films and stuff these days, is often the twist, people are guessing all the way, like, through the film already. So all their previous encounters, other than when they saw each other in the lift, were his delusions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his reaction was really good. Like, the actor, he's so good. Like, and, you felt for him because you could see he just didn't know what was real and what wasn't, and just was very, very good. Joaquin Phoenix, what an actor.
Brilliant. Outstanding. He's good in Walk the Line as well.
He is, yeah. He was really good in that. So he's invited to appear. He gets a phone call where he's invited to appear on the Murray show. Because of the popularity of his comedy routines clips. So, like, I guess if it was in the 2000s, it would be like his comedy routine was going viral, so they got him on.
Yeah.
But they probably got him on to mock him. So, like, as he's preparing for this TV appearance, he's visited by Randall, which was the guy who gave him the gun at the start, and one of his other former colleagues. And he ends up killing Randall. I forget what triggered him off.
It was because he never liked him. He was like, oh, you never liked me. And
He wanted him to lie to the police, didn't he?
Lie to the police, to get the story straight. That's right.
So he shoots Randall in the head,
stabs him with scissors. Stabs him in the scissors.
Yeah, that's
in
right.
The throat,
he stabs him in the neck, didn't he?
And then he stabs him in the eye, and it was
that's
just
right.
Grotesque. Yeah, it was
it
bad.
It was really graphic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the other guy, I can't remember the name of, but he was like a little guy. He's like cowering in the corner, thinking that he's next. And Arthur's really kind to him, and he says, "Look, I'm not going to kill you. You
can leave.
You can leave.
You were kind to me.
You were always nice to me." And
kisses him on the head.
Yeah, and he's got like blood all up his face and stuff. But yeah, the violence of that scene was, it was really graphic.
Then you have that famous stair scenes then, after he gets ready for, as the Joker, going down the stairs dancing.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Right, yeah. And he puts on the Joker face paint. And I, what I liked is that I liked that his face paint throughout the film gradually changed. So yeah, at this point, it was very reminiscent of the Heath Ledger Joker face paint. And it was like, it was almost like a nod to that, which I quite liked. And then as he's walking down the stairs, dancing, getting ready to go on this TV show, the two detectives at the top of the stairs, and he's like halfway down, they kind of call for him to stop, and he sees him and he runs, and they chase him through all the clown protesters. And then one of the detectives accidentally shoots a protester, and obviously it just turns into this massive riot. And then they get off the train, which they're on when the shooting takes place, and they're on the train station, and the detective who shot the guy is getting beaten up by all the rioters, and Arthur kind of just like gives him a little bow and a smirk and
walks off.
And like, but he does look for a split second like he might help him.
Yeah.
And then he just gives him a bow and walks off. And then I think that's the part of the movie where you know there's not going to be any redemption for him.
No.
Like, up until that point.
He's turned then.
Yeah, because up until that point, he had killed the three guys who were harassing the woman and then started to harass him. And he'd killed the guy who had given him the gun and then was more interested in like self-preservation rather than anything else, like how Arthur was or stuff like that.
He kills his mum.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he kills his mum, which is obviously the same, where they get into the point where there's no redemption. He goes on the show to talk to Murray, and he introduces him. He asks to be introduced as a Joker, that's the first time on the show where Murray mocks him, like mocks the name the Joker, and Arthur walks out to applause, but he tells like really morbid jokes and kind of not suitable for like a family talk show.
Family talk show, no.
And they warned him, didn't they? Warn him in the room before,
out of thing. It's a family show. And you're like, oh, okay. So, 2 seconds. I'm gonna have to move because Ella's coming to bed.
Yeah, that's right, Mitch.
Two seconds, I just go downstairs.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
There we go. Now we're in a different room.
Mm-hmm. Change of background.
Change of background.
Variety, that's the one. Right, let me just write that down so I know when to take out. 48 minutes. Gosh, 48, those 48 minutes have gone quick.
They've gone rapid, haven't they?
Big time. Right, where were we then?
Just so about...
Oh, yeah, where he's just gone on to the show. Okay. Yeah, so they makes a reference. He mocks the name, the Joker, and then he comes out and he tells these sort of morbid jokes. And then he admits that he was the person who killed the men on the train and rants about society and how everyone's not nice and everyone's, you know, horrible to each other and it's really disenfranchised. And then all of a sudden, which actually took me by surprise, he shoots Murray in the head on live TV, which I wasn't expecting.
I wasn't expecting it, no.
He just shoots him, like, out of the blue.
I thought he just shot himself.
Yeah. But he shoots Murray. He's arrested as the, you know, like a riot breaks out and people are panicking. And I think he says some stuff into the TV camera before it goes off air. But then as they're it kind of flicks from the riot to him and being loaded into the police car for killing Murray, and the Wayne family are at a theater. But then then as the riot's getting bigger, they get kind of
put down an alley.
Yeah, they're kind of chased by the rioters, and then they're down an alley.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, and they call it Wayne, and they shoot him, which is obviously Batman's parents being killed, which is a very good way to like link everything up. I really liked that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Because I did wonder whether they would do that scene, and I wondered whether they would imply that the Joker killed his parents, but then they basically did it so that he not caused it, but
his actions started the riots that got him, his mum and dad killed. Like,
yeah, because there was protesters in the street, wasn't there? And then when he kills Murray and gets arrested, everything kicks off, and the protests turn from that to a riot. So the Waynes, Bruce Wayne's parents are killed, and then the rioters who've like stolen an ambulance crash into the police car, which is carrying Arthur, and they free him, and he's kind of unconscious. They lay him on the police car, and then the film finishes as he kind of gets up and rubs the face paint and the
makes
blood.
Makes his fake smile out of his blood, yeah.
Yeah, and makes it even more like Heath Ledger's Joker face paint. And then it finishes with him dancing as the crowd cheer. And then the last scene is at Arkham
Asylum.
And he's laughing to himself and telling the psychiatrist that she wouldn't understand the joke. And he runs from the orderlies, leaving a trail of bloody footprints. But that's the Joker. There was no post-credit scenes or anything.
No.
So, like, overall, you enjoy it, mate?
I really enjoyed it. Really cool film. It's good origin film for the Joker. They didn't really need it, but now it's here. I'm glad they made it, because, again, more comic book films are being made. I'm more than happy with that. So, good on him.
Yeah,
They didn't use any source comic books as sources for this film. It's the Joker, so it's cool. So yeah, more of that.
Yeah, I'm more for the Joker is a really popular character, and they needed to do something different than just churning out Batman films, because they've struggled. The Superman films haven't done that well, and the DC Universe films never
just
really got going.
Take off.
Other than the Wonder Woman film, which did really well. And Aquaman did quite well as well. Still haven't seen Aquaman.
Really good film.
I thought it was decent. I think what they do with the Batman film will make or break whether it's an ongoing thing.
Like, the DC universe isn't terrible. It's just, it wasn't as good as the MCU. It just, that's... Not saying that any of it, like, I like Batman v Superman, but Man of Steel is amazing.
Yeah,
that's one of the best superhero films I've seen.
Just didn't do very well, though, did it?
No, they just, Justice League just wasn't that good.
I think one of the problems that they had with the DC EU was that they didn't know whether to do something completely different or something similar to Marvel and have it as like the wisecracking bit of comedy but also comic book, or to do it as completely camp comic book like they did in the 80s and 90s.
The problem I had, though, every single film in the DC sort of era is they're all world-ending films.
Yeah, they don't build up to anything, do they?
No, like, whereas you have like Ant-Man, they're really good heist films.
Yeah.
And like, you've got the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're just really fun space films. So, like, you didn't have to have everything as world-ending to have it work. Just do something, like... What's his name in Justice League? What was it? What's his name? The bad guy. Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that good?
Yeah, they never got him going, did they? Like, I felt like they should have done what they're going to do with Spider-Man now, and what they've done with the last couple of Spider-Man films, is they brought in different villains, villains which people haven't seen before, instead of retelling the kind of same villains. Like, one of the reasons I really like The Dark Knight is because, or the, like, The Dark Knight trilogy is because, like, you had, like, Bane and stuff like that, which is something you hadn't seen before, like, in a Batman film before. So it felt different. So, like, I would have quite liked this time around if they do, like, go on and make this Batman and Joker franchise, is bring back some of the classic villains which we haven't seen for 20, 30 years. Like the
Dr. Freeze.
The Riddler.
Really cool Dr. Freeze.
Yeah, the Riddler.
Yeah.
Penguin. We haven't seen any of them for a very long time now. So let's do it. And let's see what we can make with it. But I feel like they can't decide.
They've casted, what's his name, from Dallas Buyers Club. Not Jared Leto. Oh, Jesus. All right. That one. What's his name?
Matthew McConaughey.
Him as Two-Face.
He'll be good.
Yeah. Yes, he would.
Be very good. He's been
in talks to cast him as Two-Face. I'll write it all down properly. Because there's been loads of apparent casting has been done.
Yeah, it'd be interesting what they do. I hope, like, I don't know whether they're going to do a Joker sequel. If they do, they're going to have to, like, I suppose if they do the Joker sequel, it doesn't need a time jump. They could do it from the very next day.
Yeah.
But if they do, like, for the next Batman film, they're going to have to do some sort of time jump to make Bruce Wayne old enough, you know, to be Batman. And then they've got to be careful.
I still
what
they
love do
to have seen a Ben Affleck Batman film.
Yeah.
He was really good as Batman. He got big for it as well.
The thing is with him is he's a massive Batman fan. And he's a massive comic book fan. So he was always going to, like, do his best to make it good. Like, I just think he got fed up with all the criticism and the
constant
problem.
Rewrites.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Rewrites and problems with everything. Okay then. So let's we'll go through El Camino now. Just we won't go through it perhaps as detailed as we did with the Joker. Joker, but we'll go through it. What did you think overall of this?
The film I've been waiting for since the Breaking Bad finished. Wasn't the series, it was brilliant. It's just real good film, real fun. And I was on the edge of my seat the whole film. I was like, oh my god, what's going on? Oh no. It was brilliant, really fun.
See, I saw a lot of people, particularly in a couple of days, like after it came out, like in the early sort of period, they were like, oh, they weren't very good. There was nothing happened. It was quite slow. There was this and that. And there was no Walter. But I was like,
Walter's dead.
Yeah, well, there was never going to be Walter White, really, without going back on
flashbacks
like,
and
their
stuff.
Whole. If they'd have brought him back, he would have gone back on everything they'd said, everything they'd told, and everything they'd done previously. And I just don't think that they're like, the writers are just not like that. They were always going to stick to it. But also, it's a TV. It's not like The Joker, where
it's
like
a
Hollywood
film.
It's a TV film. So it's effectively, they'd have been better off saying that it was like a Breaking Bad special.
Yeah.
Just a two-part, like a TV movie or a special, because I think people expected like this blockbuster full of action film. But then I think as the days and weeks passed after it, that initial release, I think people kind of got it a bit more. Like, it was just basically like an epilogue to the series.
It was a nice way to see what happened to Jesse.
Yeah. Because
Jesse was brilliant. Jess Pinkman, isn't it? Like, brilliant. And it was cool to see Badger, Skinny Pete. Like, it was really cool to see these characters again. You're like, oh, look at them. They're cool.
Yeah. And the thing is, as well, it's like, obviously, the TV series was about Walter. Yeah. But also, like, obviously Jesse was supposed to die in, like, the first series or whatever.
First series. They only kept him because of the way Adam Paul portrayed him and
yeah,
the
he reaction was so popular.
He had off him. Yeah, he was really, they're like, oh, okay, we'll keep him, man.
So for them to you know, do it and finally get the film done and then show you what happened to him and they gave him, like, a happy ending, that's what people wanted. My only complaint for the whole thing, I got to say, was I would have liked maybe one or two, only one or two, just extra Walt flashbacks.
Yeah.
Just only one, maybe two. And I'd have liked to have seen Saul. But I think he was filming something else when they were doing it, so he couldn't. But, like, that was, like, I would have liked to have seen them link up Better Call Saul and this a bit, you know, more. But there was plenty of, you know, there was plenty of callbacks.
It's a fan-pleasing film.
Yeah, there was loads of callbacks to the girl, the one who died, who's played by Kristen Ritter, is Jesse's girlfriend. She was, like, there was loads of callbacks to, you know, for the people who've watched every minute of every episode.
I've watched it again the other week.
Yeah, I watched it again. Like, I watched from start to finish the whole, all the series, probably about a month. I finished it about a month before the film came out, just by coincidence.
I said Chernobyl was my favourite. It's not. It's Breaking Bad. It always will
so
be.
Good. So good.
My favourite TV show is definitely Breaking Bad. Without doubt. It is followed by Chernobyl, but that's my favourite.
Chernobyl is good, though.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, we reviewed that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
So you go back, everyone, and have a look. Have a listen. And, but, yeah, so been doing some real good numbers with downloads as well. Growing. Lead singer Shed 7 recording a show on Tuesday as well.
Nice.
It's going to be a personal favourite for me, that is. So, like, the general story, it starts off as a flashback. It's Jesse and Mike discussing, you know, how to depart from Walter's business. Jesse asks Mike, where would he go if he could start over anywhere? And Mike says if he was younger, he'd go to Alaska, which Jesse kind of finds really appealing. And he's like, oh, yeah, that sounds good, which lays the kind of groundwork for it. So then you go back to the kind of present day, and it kicks off from right after the end of the series where Jesse flees the Brotherhood after Walt's killed them all with the gun in the car, the end of Breaking Bad series.
Yeah.
And he goes to Skinny Pete and Badger's house, and they hide him in the car, and they hide his car for him. They give him all their money, which I just thought was amazing. Then they realize that the car has got, like, a LoJack system.
Yeah.
So they leave the car with Badger, and Pete gives his car to Jesse, who then goes in the opposite direction to the police. And it's just awesome to see, like, these two friends, like, able to help him out of the, you know, out of his one last predicament sort of thing. Because that's all they ever wanted
leave
to do.
Leave the car at the border of Mexico.
Yeah.
And you, like, hide it, but not hide it. Like,
yeah,
it's,
you
like,
just leave it there really so it looks like he's gone. And it's like, that's all they ever wanted to do in all the series was to, you know, just help him. And they just wanted his approval, didn't they?
Yeah.
You find out from I think it's a news report, like a radio report, that, what's her name? I forget the woman who died, Lydia, died from being poisoned, or she's critically ill. I don't know if it says she died. And then you get several flashbacks from, like, Jesse to the being tortured, and a lot of the time he spent with Todd. Todd, by the way, they should have done something with them. Like, he's put on a lot of weight since the TV series, which, you know, it can't be helped.
No.
But they should have done something, because it looked weird to
see him.
Yeah, to see him look so different. I don't know what they could have done, but they should have just tried to do something. It didn't help with what he was wearing either. Like, it didn't
It didn't fit in with him, did it?
No, it didn't hide, well, like, the fact that he'd put on a bit of weight and stuff. But yeah, and you just get, like, flashbacks where Todd takes Jesse out of his cage to because his uncle's gone away for the weekend, so it's just the two of them, and he takes him to his apartment, and there's like a dead body of like a woman.
A cleaner.
Yeah, that's right, a cleaner, because he lost his temper and he killed her, and he makes Jesse like help.
Because she went through his box and found his money, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Where he hid his money, and then he makes Jesse get rid of the, help him get rid of the body and stuff. And what I liked about that is that you saw a different side of the relationship between him and Jesse. Like, it wasn't just all torture and brutality. He would treat Jesse.
Kind of liked him.
Yeah. But he felt like he had to do certain things to keep him in line, like kill when they killed what was her name? The girl who had the son. I forget her name.
Yeah, I know you're on about. Yeah.
But what I thought they might do, I thought they might have had Jesse go looking for the boy, and kind of
take him.
Take him. But I suppose he had his the grandmother, didn't he? So, yeah. And he wasn't the father and stuff. So Jesse remembers that obviously he was going to disappear at one point in the last series. And then he realized that Walt poisoned Brock, was the name of the kid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he didn't disappear. He was like waiting for the disappearer, wasn't he? The actor who plays him died.
Died. Yeah, like 2 days later, was it?
Yeah, 2 days after the film came out. Which is mad. But so the disappearer guy, he goes back and forth with Jesse and stuff, and he eventually gets the money together. And you know, the plans to go to Alaska. He's funny because like Jesse drives to is it Neil's house where he finds. So Jesse drives to Neil's shop where Neil, Casey and three of the friends celebrate him with escorts and cocaine. And he asks for $1,800 because he needs to get the rest of the money to disappear. Neil refuses. So they have a shootout like the Old West. But Jesse's got a gun in his pocket. And as they go to like 1, 2, 3 draw, he shoots him through his pocket. And he tells all his friends to run off. And I think he only takes the 1,800 though, doesn't he? And he gives the rest of the cash to his friends. And then that's when you get the flashback just after that to Walt and Jesse having breakfast. And they've just had a massive day of meth cooking. They estimate they're going to bring in about more than $1 million. Walt laments having to waited his entire life to do something special. And says Jesse is lucky because he can, you know, he can still do something.
Go to university.
Yeah, do something. Use the money for good, educate himself and stuff. And then it kind of, once he gets the money, a lot of the film is around him. He's on the run, isn't it? So he's trying to get away and he's trying to get the money then to get away. And then he gets the money. He goes to see the disappearer, Ed. He gives him a new identity. He smuggles him to Alaska. He hands Jesse hands Ed a letter to give to Brock, and says that there's no one he wants to say goodbye to. Jesse drives off, and then you get a flashback to his time with Jane, who is the one who died of the overdose.
Yeah, and they're driving away.
Yeah, and he tells her that he admires what she said about going wherever the universe takes her. But she dismisses it as metaphorical. And that's it. It's like, and he drives off smiling at this prospect of his new life. One thing we didn't mention is obviously when the police are on his tail, he uses his parents to decoy.
As a decoy,
the police.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he knows that the police will be listening. He knows that his parents will
tell him.
Yeah, so he says, I want to give myself up. And he's waiting outside. They all go. And I think it's when he's trying to get the money, isn't it?
Yeah.
They all go and stuff. And he gets in and does it. Overall, I thought it was really, really good. But I expected it to be like this.
Yeah.
I think some people were disappointed because they were expecting some high-octane you know, crazy, like the Need for Speed film, perhaps, which Aaron Paul's in.
Where I thought they, that was a, that's a perfect of, analogy for it, yeah.
Maybe they thought there was going to be a lot of car chases and stuff, but I wasn't expecting that, so I wasn't disappointed.
It was just edgy seat stuff. You're like, oh, what's happening?
It was tense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting. I quite liked that they just literally announced it like a month before, and that was it.
No marketing. Here it is. Ready?
But okay. The only thing they had was that the first trailer where Skinny Pete was talking to the police in the...
And that wasn't even in the film.
No. So it was like, it was made as an advert, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
That's what I like about Netflix, so they know to market stuff.
Yeah, I just hope now they wrap up Better Call Saul in the same way.
Yeah.
So that it's all nicely done.
Well, Netflix have The Irishman out at the end of this month as well, don't they?
So what's that then, The Irishman?
It's, well, Scorsese, and you got Pacino, De Niro, Joe Pesci. It's,
oh, yeah.
Original OGs, like.
Proper gangsters.
The gangster flicks, like. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. I like all those actors as well. But there's a couple of good things coming out on Netflix soon. But, so yeah, we'll do another show now, probably, will be 17th of November, so we'll record another one around the end of November.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I'm not sure, 100% sure what...
You've got loads of shows booked in as well, so...
Yeah, I'm just trying to get as many in as possible now before Christmas, so I can take...
Christmas, yeah.
Like 2 weeks of no recording anything over those 2 weeks, but still put some stuff out. I'll record, like, the football one every Monday, but I have a couple of days off Christmas, and I James, tell the people where they can find you on Twitter.
I am JAMO Cardiff 2011. That's my at on Twitter.
Excellent. Yeah, so James, if we record, I think we'll if we record the next episode of the week commencing the 25th.
Brilliant.
So that's like a week tomorrow.
Yeah.
That should work out right. And that'll give us like 2 weeks or a week to watch. Maybe. Might have to be the week after. So we've got enough time to watch them all. But we'll see. You see how we go.
And I'm going to see Frozen 2 as well. So I can give you the lowdown on Frozen 2.
You love it, don't you? You love the old...
I love going to cinema.
Yeah, I do as well. But like you like all the kids ones as well, don't you?
Yeah, well,
got to, haven't you?
Got to.
When you got the nippers.
My daughters don't like Frozen anymore because they're grown up now. And they don't like it. But my little boy's there. He's like, I'll come watch with you, Dad. Thank you.
It's just helping you out, like.
It's helping me out, yeah. I did say I was going to pinch my nieces to go watch it, but they're going to see with him, mum and dad, so.
Yes. Traitors.
Yes.
Indeed. Right, guys, you can find me on Twitter at @acecast_nation, facebook.com/acecastnation, youtube.com/acepodcastnation for the video versions of all the shows, and audio versions at iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a load of other podcasting sites. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Jamie, thank you for joining me, mate.
Thank you, Simon.
And we'll see you all next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.